We're going to invite you back to be present with the group, and welcome to you all. And if you will use the feature called reactions and raise your hand, if you would, you can see that I have done it there. Oops, that's not the raise your hand, that's the agreement. Let's see. So let's see, we want to do the raise hand gesture. Oh, well, there we go. So we have Peter Winchell doing it, but that would be the way to signal, and I will then keep going around. So Peter, if you would unmute yourself and ask your question, we'll go from there.
Thanks, Steve. Let me first thank you for a delightful information-packed excursion, much to contemplate. Let me second say hi to all my dear friends who I haven't seen since in so long, since I haven't been on the East Coast. It's delightful too. Glad you made it, Tom. Finally, I do have a question. I sent it to you by email, but here's a fundamental puzzle that I don't understand that makes this all confusing to me. You know, I can understand astrology, astrological predictions, because there's some observable physical phenomenon that is moving in a dance of interconnection that's going to create certain experiences in humanity and each individual. And so that makes sense to me, talking about it's a scholar year with a sage casting. I don't understand, you know, where that is, what change, what indicates that, what phenomenon is it connected to that I could better understand it?
Thank you for the question, Peter. It's excellent. It may be a little bit more involved, and we don't know that we'll do it to your satisfaction, but we'll try.
Just a taste.
Certainly. First of all, the change of years tend to happen at nexus points. And the nexus point this year actually fell on Christmas Eve, where the new overleaves energies started to take effect. So at nexus points is usually what ushers in the shifting of energies. Second point in regards to that is, what makes it, and we agree, it can make difficult for people who are our students, who understandably, who also know, say, numerology or, other systems, as you say, that are connected to physical phenomena or things that are grounded in some kind of external markers, to be able to use those as reference points. Now, what we are doing, of course, is we are talking about energies that don't have necessarily physical, tangible, singular kinds of orientations. Whereas a planet in aspect to some other planet, you know, you can draw out on a chart, or you can see with degrees and an ephemeris and that sort of thing. And yet, the interesting part is, and we think all of you who are even astrological students realize this, is to a great extent, much of what comes out of astrology still is largely informed by the astrologer, meaning that their interpretation of the interconnections of those astrological events is still their own understanding and commentary of it. One of the more famous astrological commentators of the last century was a fellow by the name of Dane Runyard. And extremely articulate, excellent, excellent philosopher, as well as excellent prose writer. But in any case, even he was the first to admit that there are often many subtle aspects that a person will pick out of a chart and alter and rearrange for themselves. With these overleaf teachings, what we have tried to do for you, is offer you ways of casting your attention, casting these, putting a frame of reference around events that occur, and looking at them through the lens of, oh, wow, do I see cynicism playing out here? Oh, wow, look at this you know, knowledgeable deep dive. We'll give you one example that's really current right now. We can tell you that the assimilative axis and the chaos energy that's going on right now is wreaking havoc for poor Kevin McCarthy. And it will continue to do so because there are so many competing energies and the stubbornness of the extreme right wing of his party. Okay, so notice we've just cast energy about that. What we think is going to happen is you're going to see a much more moderate speaker. We do not think he's going to get it. We're just offering you that as one example of seeing how some of these overlays are work. But his stubbornness and the stubbornness of this year is going to make him hang on as it, with his nails dug into flesh. So anyway, we hope that has given you some sort of a description of how this might apply. Go ahead, Peter.
Yes, thank you very much. Quick follow-up question came out of your beginning was, it's possible to say the Nexus comes in and then these new overleaves show up. Are they subtle physical, astral, causal? Can that be stated?
They apply to the physical plane. And we will also tell you something else that will make some of you long-term students smile. And that is that all the channels often may have some overlays that they get in common, but through given the fact that each channel is an aspect in cooperation with us, for instance, we would even say that Stephen is, if you will, our earthly representative of the consortium. The energy that we're putting through him, and the reason then that these energies that we see is because those people that are meant to be touched by this information and will adopt it are being attracted to it. And so the events on the physical plane are what is going on. The astral plane and upper planes of existence may be, have been, so to speak, like the planning grounds for shaping these configurations, but they're not really affecting them. These are all physical plane phenomena.
Thank you, dear Steve.
You're very welcome, Peter. Thank you. Catherine
Rose. Catherine, yes. Rose had her hand up.
Yes, I just called Catherine. Thank you, Sarah.
Oh, you just did. Okay, good.
thank you for being my spotter, my lovely wife, Sarah, helping me out. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, happy new year, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you fine.
Okay. Please continue. Okay. So in the last several months, I've experienced a lot of loss and grief and anger and the term a lot left unsaid, but yes. And then just a week ago I had an event, you know, a heart-related emergency. So that's just a wake-up call, you know. So what might you suggest for this year going forward? Because so many of these overleaves for the year are just, you know, my overleaves, very, you know, relevant. So what might you share with me?
On a personal level for you, also given the fact that you have a lunar as a body type, and you're already, you know, or at least as part of your configuration of body types, being really, really astute about your health as much as you possibly can will be the number one priority. Dealing with anger and dealing with this feminine energy. One of the ways that we say to people about dealing with feminine energy is if you have any kind of a person who can do hug therapy for you. Now, whether that's a good friend, whether that is an actual therapist, whether that's a body worker, whether that's somebody who does rebirthing. By the way, an old technique that many people who, you know about, that, you know, has not been in vogue for years, but still out there, would be very helpful. Water therapy would also, you know, be really useful for helping to resolve, you know, the stuck feelings, because bringing those to the surface will be very good for opening the heart, because the emotional center is also the heart chakra, the fourth chakra. So that would be our, in a nutshell, suggestions for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly. In an effort to get as many people in, please note that a lot of our answers will somewhat be abbreviated. And we invite all of you who are our regulars. If you just need a short check-in, you can always do a 15-minute or a half hour or something like that, on the side. So thank you, Catherine. Does anyone else have a question? I don't see any other hands up. My goodness, were we that thorough or just that overwhelming and windy?
Hey there.
Lori. Yes.
I tried to put my hand up. I don't know why it didn't work. I just wanted to say how poignant this seems with the overleaf and stuff that I've been noticing.
Lori, you're dropping in and out. So if you could enunciate more and maybe speak a little closer to your microphone, that would help.
Okay. Does this help better?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. I've noticed that it seems very poignant that the overleaves, and I personally have been feeling like I'm in either in flow or maybe reevaluation, but it seemed more like what you said about stubbornness and laziness and stuff. And it's like perhaps flow going into the self-depth of God, what's wrong with me? I'm usually in growth, but it's just not happening. And it sounds like though that's just kind of the way the world is right now, huh? What would you say though about predicting the future versus creating the future? In what ways would you say it's almost like you kind of have to know the future before you know you can change it, in my mind anyway.
Well, so
what do you suggest?
In some ways, Lori, no, actually. Inventing the future takes courage to take risk, regardless of what predictions are. We can tell you that when it comes to physical plane phenomena, those are definitely much more realistically set in motion, and they are much more difficult to alter. They are much more solid and less liable to be bumped by a change of attitude or necessarily, just jumping in. So when it comes to things like climate change the kind of things that are going to happen to the food supply, the extremeness, the number one chaotic system in the world that's getting more chaotic is weather. And will continue. And that you don't even have to predict that. That's just going to happen. However, how will you choose to respond to it? And that is something. And then how will you then contribute to the system as an individual to then help lean into and weigh? Well, in this year, it says, talk to people, bring up climate change a lot more. Don't let people put you off. Have your facts lined up. But also the one that we said as the cynic, challenge that man or woman that says, gee, if we made a better world, would that really be that bad? Because that's the biggest myth and that's the biggest self-delusion that most deniers are really holding on to, is the actual... I'm sorry, go ahead. What's that?
Yeah, that it would actually just be a waste of their time and money,
Yes, because they put money ahead of the reality that biology will always, if you forgive the use of the term, trump money. Always. And so that's a reality, that they're in denial of. They're not overtly lying about it. They're just stubbornly fixed in a belief system. So to invent the future means you find like-minded people. Remember the phrase that we used about last year, find your networks, strengthen your networks, and find out who's in your network that is already doing things that you could be a part of. That's how you do it. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. That's one of the things I kind of have a hard time with is like, you know, reaching out and being in a community of others, like-minded others. I'm such a hermit.
Well, and also, isn't your frequency like about 25?
It's probably gone down to that by now.
And you're living with Brad between the two of you. Yes. We can imagine snail races to the kitchen. But in any case, in all seriousness, by the way, in this part of this first part of the year, energy preservation is definitely, especially with this this heavy winter that the United States is having, but even the weird winter that Europe and Asia is having, it's about, once again, an energy slowdown. In preparation for a much more robust spring and summer. And we don't mean just weather-wise, we're talking about human actions. One last thing about this, you know, we mentioned music, and there's another piece about using music for your for changing your mood, your vibration, and all that. Music is about, activating your auditory sense of beauty. Your auditory sense of beauty. So guess what, folks? Sing. We don't care if you sound like sandpaper on rusted metal. Sing. Use your breath, even if it's in the shower by yourself, and you will find that your overall demeanor will change because it is reminding you of expressing your own voice. And we mean the voice literally, but also metaphorically. So we hope that's been of some use. And there will be more things, quote, to do when we post it on the website in the written material. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Lori, thank you. Jenna, you were
up. Hi there, Stephen and folks. Yeah, sing, absolutely. Singing this song blesses me. Singing for you blesses us. Yeah, I sing for people who are dying or troubled, which so anybody can email me and I'll sing at a distance. It lifts me. It calms me. It comforts me.
Thank you for that offer.
Anna, thank you, Stephen and Michael. And here's my question. As an idealist,
yes.
I am an idealist, one of whose housemates is a cynic. So I have gotten to watch how the cynic works and learned a few adaptive responses, which is mostly just to listen and see that as a valid point of view. Not mine, but it's a valid point of view. But my question for Michael, for you, is how can we use the energy of the cynic year or the cynicism creatively, in a sense? I guess what I'm wanting to do is, how do I turn it into something helpful, not just something different?
Understood. That's a powerfully thoughtful and also concerned question. As old souls, cynicism is liable to tap into self-deprecation, which we said will be, you know, happening. And a person can dive into self-abasement, but also abasement of humanity. So the game you play is maybe not this one. And that is, you know, the cynic likes to use absolute thinking. Everybody and always. And just, you know, the game to play is really this one too, or maybe not this one. Because the minute that you can jar with another option, somebody out of the so-called certainty of their cynicism, which is even going to be harder than when you consider stubbornness as well, you can at least utilize the positive pole of flow. The next way to do it is flow is also called relaxation in this teaching. And one of the things is to get to laughing about the cynic. It's like, really, dude or dudette, lighten up. You know, you're so certain, are you? You know, hey, have you, you know, I mean, and then start introducing the contradictions. Because that is a way to help a person jar loose. And fortunately, in the goal of flow, it counterbalances or kind of counters the effect of stubbornness, even though they're in the same axis, because it is variable and it is more fluid. And with feminine energy, if you can appeal to them by saying, I love you, in spite of yourself, I love you, and bring that to bear, you will find cynics often, you know, just starting to laugh and melt because they start hearing their own cynicism. But really what cynicism, its positive expression is to tear away at absolute lies and to say, no, no, we won't stand for that. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. And then again, we said to have your facts in order. Yeah. And it doesn't mean your facts are going to be always right at your fingertips, but it just means you resort to that clarity if all levity fails. Okay.
Thank you.
Certainly. I believe Nan and then Phil, were, you have your hands up, and I think that's the order. So go ahead, Nan. You have to unmute yourself, Nan.
Okay. There's some problematic things here for me in that this whole business of creating the future, when I can do so little without being stopped by my health issues, you know, an hour or so of doing anything, and I'm forced to quit. So there's always been a side of me wanting to do something new. so it was frustrating to listen to this business about creating the future. And the other thing that got said that was disturbing had to do with the memory stuff. Because I can understand a ton of stuff while it's right in front of me. It doesn't stick in memory. So I don't know if there were any comments Michael had on those two points.
Certainly. Nan, first of all, you don't have to be perfect. You're perfect just the way you are. Number two, your contribution in this world has always been that when someone has called upon you, you've shown up. You've been present. You do your best to give of yourself wholeheartedly. Your muse of sewing and fabric creation, if you literally just tried to put together new pieces of clothing with the most offbeat or wonderful fabrics that you've never tried before, that's a contribution, because that means you are not in the pattern and you are resisting the programmed algorithm of the incursion of the techno realm. Now, you're already online a lot, so you have to deal with this screen. We're not suggesting that technology is necessarily a bane to humanity. It facilitates this. But what it can be is its regimentation and so forth. So,
anyway. I've been aware of how getting on the screen can be hard to get off again. And I'm on it a lot less than other people. And then I feel like, didn't I just waste some time? I'm really resolved to work on that one.
So our answer to you, and everyone, please pay attention to this. When you get off the screen and you ask yourself, did you waste your time? Notice where your vibration is. If it's dull, heavy, spacey, or distracted, then the answer is probably yes. If you find yourself that you had interest, you were uplifted by the show you watched or whatever you read, the story, or you found yourself engaged, then it was not. Period. That's your standard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Phil Fauché, you're up next. Oh, there he is. Okay. Unmute yourself, Phil. Phil, unmute yourself, please.
Yes, I'm looking for it. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. Sure.
Thank you. That was a great presentation. I love the suggestions, the specific suggestions that you gave us to listen to music and read and singing. That kind of thing really helped. My question has to do with the world. Now, the U.S. has this situation where there's such a polarity, a fixed polarity. And people seem to be in their own tribal bubbles. Mm-hmm. And there's very little communication that goes back and forth. My question has to do with, on a larger perspective, how does the evolutionary force of things typically resolve situations like that? Does that make sense? It's a question.
Could you try reframing it again, please? We're not sure we quite understood the. It's a little bit broad, and maybe the channel is succumbing to the effects of all this feminine energy and confusion. So, could you try it again?
Sure. So, it's like how did. You know, given this kind of polarity, I don't know how to say it a different way.
Okay, so with the polarity in the world right now, how is this propelling evolution? Is that kind of the gist of it? Maybe.
Yeah, that would answer part of it. I guess the other part is how do they typically resolve themselves?
Okay, good. Thank you. Good question. Okay, so there's two parts to that question then, as you said. All right, so first of all, these kind of polarities, we once showed a graphic, for those of you who are familiar with biology, of mitosis. And you know that when cells divide into two parts, they literally rip apart and become two. In a very real sense, that's what's happening right now. Those practitioners, you know, the young baby infant soul practitioners of the, you know, the dominance the dominance aggression competition model are pulling away from and becoming more isolated from those who are moving into the conscious awareness cooperation model. And so that polarity is what's happening. And why that happens is that every time there is a soul age evolutionary change, but this is the most important soul age evolutionary change ever in the history of this species and this planet, because never has a species, an soul species on this planet, had the power to destroy the planet, the playground itself. So that's why this is the most important and the biggest, one of the biggest consequences and implications. Okay, so it propels it because all that energy, all that force is necessary for that separation to happen, okay? How it resolves itself is evolution is always time forward motion. Now, in that time forward motion, the question is there progress or not? And evolution is never a guarantee that there is always going to be progress. It just means there's the next step. And it could be a step into something that is, you know, less desirable. But it does resolve itself by virtue of time and evolution. Now, one of the things that will happen here invariably, at least on the Earth itself, as one physical plane representation of Soul Age evolution. Remember, we have said that there are many inhabited planets in the universe and of ensouled species who are going through their stages, and they are doing it in different ways. In fact, you know, there are two other ensouled species on this planet, just not technological. Anyway, so this progress happens. Well, one of the ways that it will happen is we have talked about that the second Earth came into existence as a place that humanity chose as a new playground for all the new infant souls that were being ensouled into a human species, but just far, far away from here. Never the two twain shall meet. Unless they come up with literally with trans-dimensional travel, which won't happen literally for tens of thousands of years in this species, because of the fact that you're probably going to use up the resources on this planet way before you get there. Anyway, when that happens, there's a lot of souls that are stopped coming to Earth, baby and young souls who are stopped coming to Earth, who want the experience of like the jungle and building civilizations from scratch and big wars and killing each other and having dominance hierarchies and all the kind of things that are familiar with or part and parcel of those evolutionary stages. So in other words, the remaining souls that are going to end up here are going to be you older souls, those of you who are still in the evolutionary cycle and still have 10, 20, 30 lives yet to go. And then, of course, mature souls who have even more to go will be coming back here, and some young souls too, and so forth. So the population, the literal population of humans are going to decline here. And the resource constraint is going to cause creativity and an interesting kind of a weird phrasing. Competition is going to become much more essential to survival. Cooperation is going to become much more essential to survival. And at the same time, that remaining segment that is competitive will, you know, exhaust themselves trying to do it, but they will lose out. What remains will be in this mature soul ensconced paradigm of realizing you've got to work together in order to preserve this place. So that's how it will resolve itself. Does that make sense to you in any meaningful way? Does that kind of answer your question? Hopefully not. Yes.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's not going to happen within your lifetime. We can tell you that right now, yeah. That resolution. All of you, you know, who are over 60, Sarah recently discovered a great T-shirt. It says, I survived the 60s twice. So for all of you over 60, you can qualify for that T-shirt. In any case, so.
Thank you. It's a very large stage to look at. Yeah.
It really is. It's about as big a scope as you can account for. So thank you, Phil. All right, we have time for one more quick question. If somebody wants, if your reactions button isn't working, you can raise your hand, and I'm scanning the screen. But if nobody raises their hand, I will say thank you to everyone. So going once, going twice, and we will say farewell and have a really illuminating 2023.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, Joe, go with the flow, right? Go with the flow. We're going to learn from you.
He's Happy New Year, Steve. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tom. Glad you got in. Nice to see you, Rebecca. Good to see you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you all.
Angela, Karen, yep. Carol, it's good to have you all.
There they go.
And, Peter, good to see you again.
All right, there they go. Likewise, Jan.
Again, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you all. And again, the recording and everything will be ready and available in about a week. So come back to the website if you want to review. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Stay safe with the weather.
Catherine.